Title: Automation Grouping for Cleaner Sessions, Advanced ENB in Ableton Live. All right, let's talk about a very real drum and bass problem. You automate everything: bass movement, drum intensity, reverb throws, build tension, drop impact, and then your Ableton set turns into a jungle of automation lanes. You scroll more than you create. And worst of all, you lose the big picture control that actually makes a DNB arrangement feel professional. In this lesson, we're going to clean that up with automation grouping. The goal is simple. Instead of automating 10 different parameters, we're going to automate one or two macros that move multiple things in a coordinated, musical way. By the end, you'll have an energy control system built around three main macro lanes: one macro for bass aggression, one macro for drum impact, and one macro for build to drop tension. Clean session, repeatable transitions, easier revisions, and that intentional pro movement where the whole track feels like it's being driven by a single vision. Let's build it. First, routing. This is the foundation, because if your routing is messy, your automation will be messy. Go into your session and group your drums. Select your kick, snare, hats, break, perk tracks, then group them. Rename that group drum bus. Now group your bass, sub, res, mid layers, whatever your setup is. Group them and rename it bass bus. And here's the extra pro move: create a PR remaster group. Select your drum bus, bass bus, and any other main groups like music and FX, then group them and call it PR remaster. The reason we do this: we keep the real master channel boring. Meters, final limiter, maybe reference tools. The creative automation lives on buses and the pre-master, where it's easier to control and less risky. Now we're ready for the main concept: automation grouping with racks and macros. We're going to start with the bass bus. And we're building a rack whose job is to give you one automation lane called bass aggro. Drop an audio effect rack onto the bass bus and show the macro knobs. Inside that rack, add devices in this order. First, utility. This is for basic gain staging and stereo discipline. Start with width at 100%. If your live version has bass mono, turn it on and set it around 120 Hz. The exact number isn't sacred, but the concept is: sub stay stable. Next, auto filter. Choose LP24 if you want that weighty, serious closing movement, or LP12 if you want smoother. Start the frequency high, around 20 Hz. So at baseline it's basically open, resonance around 0.2 to 0.4, and keep drive conservative at first. Then saturator, analog clip mode, drive maybe 2 to 6 dB to start, soft clip on, and trim the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Then glue compressor, attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2 to 1 to start, set the threshold so you're getting maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction normally, we'll push it harder with the macro later. Soft clip on only if you know you want that extra density, but don't just enable it because it feels cool. It can flatten your punch fast if you overdo it. Finally, another utility at the end. Think of this as final trim and width control. Now the fun part. Mapping. Click map, and we're going to create macro one called bass aggro. Map multiple parameters to that single macro with musical ranges. Map auto filter frequency from about 20 Hz down to about 400 Hz. So as you push aggression, the bass closes in and gets more focused. In DNB, that less air, more density move reads as intensity. Map auto filter drive from 0 up to around 8 dB. Map saturator drive from about 2 dB up to around 10 dB. Map glue threshold from 0 down to around minus 10 dB, so it compresses more as you push the macro. And map the final utility width from about 110% down to about 80%. That part is a big deal. When aggression goes up, we slightly tighten the stereo image. It often makes the bass feel punchier and more club safe, and it keeps the mix from turning into wide blurry chaos. Now, pause and listen to what we just did philosophically. This isn't random. This is coordinated movement. More aggro means more harmonic density, more compression, less fizzy openness, slightly narrower image. One move, cohesive result. And here's a coaching note that will save you later. Think of each macro as a contract. Before you even draw automation, decide what that knob must always do. For bass aggro, your contract might be more density, tighter image, slightly less headroom, but never collapses the mix. If you want, literally write that in the rack name or in info view notes. Because when you reopen the project months later, that contract is your compass. Next, let's do the drum bus. Same concept, different goal. We want drum impact. One macro lane that makes drums feel more forward and more intense without you drawing automation across 5 devices. On drum bus, drop an Audido effect rack. Inside, at EQ8, drum bus, glue compressor, and utility. In EQ8, set up a high shelf point around 8 to 10 kHz, but leave it at 0 for now. We are just preparing a controlled brightness option. Drum bus, start drive around 5 to 15%, crunch around 0 to 15, damp to taste. Boom is often off on a full DNB drum bus because it can get out of control, but you can experiment with subtle settings if your kick needs weight. Glue compressor next. Similar idea, used to add density when the macro pushes. Then utility at the end for gain trim. Now map macro 1 and name it drum impact. Map drum bus drive from about 5% up to around 30%. Map drum bus crunch from 0 up to around 25. Map that EQ8 high shelf gain from 0 dB up to around plus 2.5 dB. Map glue threshold from 0 down to around minus 8 dB, so in big moments you might hit 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction. And crucially, map utility gain from 0 down to around minus 1.5 dB. That's your loudness compensation so the macro doesn't just become a volume knob. One more teacher tip here. If your impact macro starts making cymbals brittle, don't just give up on it. That's a sign you need safety rails. You can add an IR safe idea by controlling highs more intelligently. For example, instead of only boosting top end, you can use multiband dynamics subtly so mids get denser, while highs get slightly restrained as impact rises. The goal is impact without pain. Okay, bass and drums are now controllable with 2 lanes. That alone is huge. Now we build the third piece. Transition control. The classic DNB build into drop tension release but clean. Ableton doesn't let you macro map across tracks directly in a simple way, so the cleanest strategy is to do transition automation on the PR remaster group. Centralized, tidy, and easy to revise. On pre-master, add an Audido effect rack. Inside it, put auto filter, reverb, utility, and optionally echo. Set auto filter to HB24, starting around 30 Hz. Reverb. Start decay around 1.2 seconds, dry slash wet at 0, and high cut around 6 to 10 kHz so it stays dark and doesn't hiss all over your mix. Utility, this is for micro dips or emphasis. Echo, optional and keep dry slash wet at 0 until automated. Now map macro 1 and name it build tension. Map the auto filter frequency from 30 Hz up to around 250 Hz. That's your low end pull. Map reverb dry slash wet from 0 up to around 18%. Map reverb decay from about 1.2 seconds up to around 4.5 seconds. Map utility gain from 0 down to around minus 2 dB. This is a sneaky pro trick. A tiny dip right before the drop makes the drop feel louder without you actually having to slam your limiter. And if you're using echo, map echo dry slash wet from 0 up to around 12%. Now let's apply it in arrangement terms. Over the 8 bars before the drop, ramp build tension from 0 to 100. Then at the drop transient, hard reset it right back to 0. You've heard this technique in 1000 DNB records, but the difference here is you're doing it with one lane. And because it's centralized, if you move the drop later, you don't have to hunt down automation on 8 different tracks. Now let's talk session hygiene. Because this is where advanced producers actually separate themselves. Rule 1. Automate macros, not devices. Devices are messy, macros are decisions. Rule 2. Name macros like mix decisions. Bass aggro, drum impact, build tension, not macro 1. Your future self will thank you. Rule 3. Use consistent automation shapes. Drum and bass is full of predictable energy arcs, 8 bar ramps, 1 bar stabs, Q bar pre-drop pulls. When your macro shapes are consistent, your track feels intentional and your session stays readable. Rule 4. Don't keep every lane open. Toggle automation view when you need it. Show only what you're editing, then collapse. Your eyes are part of your workflow. Now some advanced coaching notes on making these macros actually usable. First, calibrated macro scaling. Some parameters are basically exponential, like filter frequency and reverb decay. If your macro feels like nothing happens until 70%, tighten your ranges, or split the job into 2 macros, one for tone, one for density. Another trick is in the automation curve itself. Keep the macro under 60% for most of the ramp, then push quickly near the end. That gives you control and drama without losing subtlety. Second, do the 30-second sanity check. Loop your loudest drop. Set the macro to 0% and confirm it's still your intended baseline, not weak and unfinished. Set it to 50% and confirm it sounds like a finished mix option. Set it to 100% and confirm it's exciting, but not a different genre. If 100% is unusable, your top range is too wide. If 50% is weak, your bottom range is too timid. Third, make macros level neutral on purpose. Even with utility compensation, intensity often raises RMS. If you want to be extra disciplined, put a limiter or final utility inside the rack and map a tiny output trim to the same macro, like minus 0.5 to minus 1.5 dB across the range. That way you judge the tone and density, not the loudness. Fourth, once the rack works, treat it like a module. Color it, group it mentally, and stop tweaking device parameters mid-arrangement unless you're intentionally revising the system. The whole point is speed and clarity. Now, if you want to go even more advanced, here are a couple of variations. Two-stage macros, phrase versus moment. Phrase macro is slow, 8 to 32 bar movement, the overall energy arc. Moment macro is fast, quarter bar to 2 bar gestures, stabs, fills, DJ edit, punctuation, so on bass. Phrase could be filter plus glue threshold plus width tightening. Moment could be a tiny resonant bump plus a short drive spike plus a little volume dip and recover. That gives you excitement without opening more automation lanes than necessary. Another variation is rack crossfades instead of mapping piles of parameters. You create two parallel chains. Chain is clean and open, chain B is driven, filtered, tighter. Then you map one macro to crossfade between chains using chain volumes or chain selector fades. This can sound more consistent and avoids weird interactions where 8 mapped parameters fight each other. And don't forget safety rails. A macro called SUB safe that reinforces mono and prevents low-end smear. A reverb kill macro that instantly drops wet to zero for drop cleanup. These are boring macros that protect the mix when you get excited. If you're on Ableton Live 11 or 12 and you use macro variations, you can take this to another level. Store snapshots like intro, drop 1, breakdown, drop 2, and automate variation changes at section markers. That's less curve drawing and faster rearranging. All right. Let's lock it in with a practice exercise. Your goal is to reduce 12 automation lanes to 3 macro lanes. Take a 32-bar drop you already have. List out all the things you're automating. Filter cutoff, saturator drive, reverb wet, width, drum bus drive, whatever it is. Then build 3 racks. Bass bus with bass aggro, drum bus with drum impact, pre-master with build tension. Now recreate the same energy movement using only those 3 lanes. Then /B compare. This audio version is shortened for playback.